This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Kind of have to start with Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors. So last night, the Warriors beat the Sixers 107-96. Everyone is in awe of Steph Curry, whether you're on the Warriors, whether you're on the other team, whether you're us, whether you're fans, etc. Curry goes for 49, 10 three-pointers. Over his last nine, he's averaging 41 points per game. Just an absolutely insane run. So I have a bunch of questions, Ken, and I want to get your opinion on all of them, right, as it concerns the Golden State Warriors. So let's start with this. Before we get macro, let's go a little micro here. Is there anything that we can do with Warriors games in the near future now where it's like he can't possibly, like old-timey basketball better, like he can't possibly keep this up, you got to bet against him in the next game? Like, what do we do with the Warriors now, if anything? And if there's nothing, we can move on to the next topic, but just feel like it's important to ask this question.
Sure. Well, it's a good question to ask. And I think we know how I handicap the NBA, right? I use the opponent splits. And as much as the Warriors' recent run, an opponent splits, but for people who don't follow the show, basically like every NBA team performs differently against each type of opponent. So there are some teams that front run that play really well against the bad teams. There are some teams that can like kind of jump up in competition and play really well. Washington would be a good example of that. Every team kind of plays differently based on opponent. Golden State's MO the whole year, and it hasn't changed. I know last night they beat Philly, but like, I think in these injury games where like Simmons and Harris don't play, like that doesn't really count as a win against elite opposition necessarily, because it's not Golden State's fault that the guys don't play, and good for them to win the game. But even with that win and that cover, they're still 6-10 this year against the top eight teams in the league, and they're 9-13 against the spread against the middle third teams in the league. So they've kind of accumulated a lot of their wins against the bad teams this year. Like they're like 70% against the bottom third of the league, even against the spread. They cover big numbers against the bottom third of the league. So I think they blew out Houston a couple weeks ago. So I always want to kind of pump the brakes on these kind of teams where, yes, like, should they be drawing a lot of attention? Yes. Is what Curry's doing insane and we should watch it every single chance we get because it's probably never happening ever again? Yes. And it's awesome. But like, are they like morphing into a team that's like all of a sudden a big time contender? I mean, that's where I kind of say like, well, no, it's really more like just the way the schedule's worked out, the order of the teams that they get when they play the teams, who's playing and not playing. This was true with Boston going into last night's game. Boston had won six in a row, but like, they beat the Warriors was like their big kind of like marquee win, right? And they go into the Chicago game and it's like, all right, has Boston become something different? No, they haven't. Like, it's just kind of the order of the teams they played and what they did against them. And I don't think Boston's different necessarily. When they're fully healthy, maybe. And with Golden State, I kind of feel the same way. We can enjoy that the team is playing at their absolute ceiling, at their absolute peak, and that Curry's playing at his ceiling, while also acknowledging like the severe limitations, I think, that are put on kind of what the team can achieve long term. So, short term, long term, the rest of the season, regular season, before we get to the playoffs, I'm looking to play against Golden State, against actual elite teams who are, actually playing their star players. And I'm looking to play on them, maybe at some slightly larger numbers against bottom feeders.
So the Warriors, by the way, their next two games, Friday night, hosting Nikola Jokic and the Denver Nuggets. That's Friday night. Yep. Tomorrow night, the Warriors visit the Washington Wizards. And I think the Friday show that you were off that day with Mark Malusis, they played. I took the Wizards to win the game, and they did win the game against Golden State. I'll leave the analysis for you tomorrow night in the Power Hour for that game. But I don't know. I feel like I kind of like the Wizards in that game. But, that'll be for you and Mark Malusis too. So as far as Golden State, I'll hold the Golden State playoff conversation for after the break here. Let me just ask you this, because I feel like this will be a short one. There are people in the space now, and I'm not criticizing them. I understand why they do it, that are bandying about Steph Curry for NBA MVP. Curry right now is 30-1, Harden 25, Giannis 20, Embiid plus 325. Jokic is now minus 400, because all he did last night, You might have, you know, missed it in the Steph Curry hoopla. 47, 15, and 8 in a double overtime victory for the Denver Nuggets.
Yeah, I mean, he's the overwhelming favorite. He's going to win the award like 90% of the time, and Embiid's going to win the award about 10% of the time. If Embiid plays every game the rest of the year, gets to 75%, he can win. Like, Curry's team is never going to have enough team success, and as awesome as he's playing, he's never going to have the personal statistics that can kind of compete with, like, a Westbrook triple-double season or the kind of crazy year that's required to win the award. Jokic is a really deserving candidate. He's going to win.
So let's hammer this home. One-word answer. Should people bet Steph Curry to win league MVP?
Never.
Never. Okay. So we're gonna answer this question coming up next. Can the Warriors ever take out Utah or Phoenix in the first round of the playoffs? That and more. More NBA takeaways on the other side.
Curry, another three. Bang! Steph Curry does it again. Curry magic working here in Philadelphia. 101-92.
The spontaneity, creativity. Oh my goodness, what a treat.
It's You Better You Bet with Nick Costos and Ken Barkley on the BetQL Audio Network.
The great Mike Breen, the great Doris Burke nominated for a Sports Emmy. Both of them did, which is, I think, you know, pretty appropriate because they're both great. Hum diddly dee.
Wait, did that guy get nominated? Best local dunk call? Did that come out there?
Did Del Curry get nominated?
Right. You know, you think they're going to give you... You think they're going to give you a statue, and then they do, and then you have it.
It's like my son is good.
You know, he takes a lot of threes and makes a lot of threes.
And when you hit a three-pointer, you get 3 points, and that's more than two.
it's like a combination between... I don't know. It's eerily similar to Magic Johnson on Twitter with the game recaps, where it's like Steph Curry had 48 points and led the Golden State Warriors to a 9-point win.
Do you think Magic knows that it's like a big joke, or do you think he's like serious about it?
I don't know if he knows like the extent to which it's a joke. I think he has some vibe that it's like
he's
funny.
So rich that he's he doesn't even like. Like something that I've learned in my time, like dealing with like professional athletes, both current and former, is like they are so rich that they are just like removed from regular society. Sure. That like, I mean, why would
Paul,
Magic
Paul
Johnson
Pierce
ever...
has Instagram lives, you know, like, I mean, just like, it's, yeah, this is probably okay. Like I'm
and,
good.
And guess what? Like ESPN fires him. You know what? He's got $150 million. Right. It's like, whatever. Yeah. Someone else will hire him. But like, I bet you Magic doesn't even think about it. Like, why would he even spend 1 second of his time thinking about like, oh man, like I posted an AP game recap on Twitter and people are roasting me for it. He doesn't care.
but how about thinking to yourself, like, as part of my day, I need to make sure to take out my phone and tweet like a full recap of this game that I have just watched. it's like a fascinating like part of his brain that's like, this is a part of my day that I must do this.
Mikal Bridges scored 21 points as the Suns beat the Bucks 128-127 in overtime. What a win for Phoenix. Well, thanks, Magic.
Thanks, man. Yeah, retweet. Kyrie different.
Yeah, Kyrie different. I was thinking about that last night and laughing. I still hold that out of like, there are many great press conferences in the history of sports. I think that Magic's, when he quit the Lakers and when he went through the routine of going, and people, I've known I've been leaving for days, people keep passing me in the hallway asking like, man, it's going to be great when we turn this around. And I'm thinking, I'm not going to be here.
I'm not going to be here. I mean, God bless him for that press conference. The entire week like of that. The aftermath, even like the appearance on first
take. But that's like, I'm so, that's like, I'm so rich that like, you know what? I'm just going to quit right now. So like everyone in all the reporters, we're just going to break all protocol from what everyone's done forever in American sports. And I'm just going to quit right now in an impromptu press conference. I'm not going to be here. I'm like, how long do you think he knew that he was like, he made it like it was a couple days. It could have been longer. And do you think in his head, like he was laughing, like I'm Magic Johnson, like screw you.
Send out a tweet like, I have decided to not work for the Lakers anymore and I'm going to work somewhere else and I have a lot of money. What a move by me.
I'm not going to be here. It's absolutely epic. You know, others would be like a Steph Curry, Magic Johnson comparison now. Like, who's the better point guard here? But we don't do that on the show. So we're not going to do that segment. Instead,
Chris Paul passed him last night.
You know what? Yeah. It's like I always say, Chris Paul better than Magic Johnson, obviously. Right. Or he's not. Right. Okay. So you were careful to say in the first segment that you don't want people to confuse the issue. Golden State, not a legitimate contender in the Western Conference, right?
Correct.
But that doesn't mean... that maybe if they, you know, get in as the 7 seed or the 8 seed and got to play Utah or Phoenix,
mm-hmm.
maybe they could make it a series if Curry's going supernova nuclear here. So what do you think the ceiling is, Ken, for the Warriors? And if they, if that indeed is one of the matchups, which it probably will be, right? Warriors against one of those teams. Would the Warriors be worth betting another one of those series? And obviously we don't have prices yet, but just, you know,
right.
It's a hypothetical.
Yeah, no, I'm literally, Utah would be like 9.5, 10 in a regular season game right now between the teams. This would be a little different in the playoffs. I can run playoff stuff when we get to the playoffs. And Phoenix would be less. Phoenix would be like 6.5, 7. So you're talking about like big dogs in some of these games, and whether you think that's true or not, I mean, the Warriors opened 8.5 against Philly last night when we thought Ben Simmons and Harris were playing. 8.5 against Philly. So, you know, that's kind of, if you're trying to figure out what the prices are going to be, that's at least a reasonable reflection, because it's not like the Warriors are getting a ton of guys back. Like Wiseman, you know, like ain't coming through that door in all likelihood. So
probably good. You know,
that's probably what it's going to be. Right.
Defense is much better without him.
I think the case that you would make for the Warriors as some kind of like really, really like nuclear underdog with a guy who can play that well is that this is the one year where like you could draw a 1 or a 2 who maybe is not like authentically the best team in the conference because nobody's played for a lot of these teams the entire season. Like Utah's the one basically because they didn't have anybody get hurt and they're good. But they also didn't have anybody get hurt. And there are plenty of teams that are good. They're just the team that was good, and they didn't have anybody get hurt, and they played way better at home, and they have a lot of continuity, which has helped in this season where nobody's practicing. Phoenix is really good because Chris Paul's like the best leader of all time, and everywhere he goes, every team he's on does really well. And he hasn't missed a game, basically. So like when teams are good just because they've been, it's longevity and ability, then like that means in like a short series, yeah, is Phoenix that much more talented than Golden State? Is Utah that much more talented than Golden State? In a normal year where it's like LeBron, Anthony Davis, Lakers, or it's whatever team LeBron's playing on that's the number one seed, or it's, you know, full strength versions of the teams in the Eastern Conference that are the 1, 2, or 3. Like if Golden State was playing Philly for real with everybody, like who's guarding Embiid? I mean, like what is even happening in this series? Like, I don't understand. Like, and Philly has a ton of guys to throw at Curry in the course of a 7-game series. So I think the only case for them is the perceived weakness of the two teams that they'd be playing against. Not even that those teams are bad, just that they're weaker than most normal ones and twos, I think, in a given playoffs. Like the case for them is almost about the opponent rather than that they're like so awesome.
Interesting. So, I mean, I think people should kind of get used to this thought, right? Of Golden State facing one of those teams probably in the
big
first
dog
round of the playoffs. Or like, you know what? Or maybe they don't get there and maybe it's Dallas, Memphis, or Ken.
Right.
Maybe it's the San Antonio Spurs. Let's talk about the Spurs for a second. Let's talk about the Spurs. Sounds like the name of like a new like dramedy, the coming of age dramedy on Netflix. Let's talk about the Spurs, starring, I don't know, Gina Gershon.
I don't know.
Anyway, yep. So I don't want to talk about the Spurs. We don't talk about them a lot. They're incredibly boring. But I mean, they're going to be in this play-in tournament most likely. 3.5 games ahead of the Pelicans for the 10 seed. Beat Indy last night by 15. +290 to make the final 8 are the San Antonio Spurs. So what do we think about San Antonio briefly here? Because I think like they have now gotten to a point where like we can almost, not definitely, but probably say like, hey, we're going to have a play-in game to bet on it. It's going to involve Greg Popovich in San Antonio.
Right, which I think is really interesting. The idea that New Orleans is probably not going to be in the play-in tournament and that San Antonio is going to be in instead. What's their first play-in matchup right now? I just don't have the standings in front of me.
The Spurs are the 10, so they would play the Mavericks,
right,
who are the 7.
Right, Dallas.
Oh, no, excuse me.
No.
Seven plays eight, so they would play Golden State.
That's what I was thinking. And Golden State is the 9
at
right
Oracle
now.
Oracle or whatever the arena is called now.
Yeah, I mean, Golden State, like, reasonable favorite. Like, what do you think? I mean, what do you think the line should be if that happens? Full strength, everybody.
I don't know. Maybe like Golden State, like -4.5, -5.
Yeah. I mean, I'm like 3.5 right now, but playoff.
Yeah, actually, I think that's probably right. Because 5 sounded almost like too much to me in my head. So yeah, maybe 3.5 is a better spread.
Yeah, it's something like that. And I mean, when I do the playoff, the reason people are like, well, how are playoffs different? The game's still 48 minutes, right? Except like, instead of putting Curry in for 33 or 35 or 36 minutes, you're putting him in for like 44. And as his minutes grow, newsflash, the difference between the Warriors and their opponent grows in that situation. Like they have more of an advantage because Curry's on the court for probably longer in those situations. These kind of all-in one-game playoffs. Think about Lillard last year would be a really good example of that. So, you know, if that's the number, what would I do with the Spurs? I mean, never bet on them. I think their biggest problem is, you know, when we think about playoffs – we can do one game and then full series. I think in each they have the same problem, which is in the final 5 minutes of a game when the game totally slows down and they have to run half court offense. Like, what kinds of shots are they getting? And against like a good quality opponent,
probably DeMar DeRozan fall away jumpers would be my guess.
And that's, I think, you know, it's not going to be good for sure. And, you know, they can defend okay with certain lineups. Their defense hasn't, I mean, they're just not very good at anything, honestly. Like, they don't really have a strength. Right. I think the issue is
they should bow out and give the spot to the Pelicans. If they had any kind of self-respect, they'd be like, well, people have been through a tough year in this country. We shouldn't have to watch the San Antonio Spurs in a play-in game.
and be denied Zion Williamson in a play-in game because Stan Van Gundy's incompetent, basically. So like, what to do with the Spurs from a betting standpoint? If they find themselves in a one game, are they an attractive underdog against the right team? I mean, maybe, except like, what's Dallas running in the final 5 minutes? The most efficient offense possible. What are the Spurs running? The exact opposite. What are the Warriors running? Curry, anything. Like, you just don't have a guy like that.
Memphis would be interesting. What about Memphis?
Yeah, I mean, that would be if Memphis hosted the game. Yeah, smaller number. I mean, I have Memphis by two right now. The totals are all about a little above league average because it'll change a little bit for the playoffs, but something like that, Memphis will be favored. Would you bet if it was Memphis minus three, something like kind of generic, that's reasonable. Would you bet the Spurs at that number?
I don't think I'd bet Memphis.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think the problem is, okay, so maybe we're presented with literally one game to maybe be able to bet on the Spurs and feel good about it. In a 7-game series where teams are able to adjust to whatever they're going to do.
I mean, no chance.
It's like, obviously. It's like a walkover, basically. Yes. I mean, it's literally a walkover. So I think the problem is like, okay, we need to get used to this team. We need to learn about them because they are going to be in, but they're going to be in for like a day. Maybe they win a game. Maybe they actually get a playoff spot, which would be an incredible accomplishment, by the way. If they go through like Golden State and then Dallas and they make it, can you imagine? By the way, ABC executives just like, oh dear God. Like, oh no.
Like Rudy Gobert, Jakob Poeltl, the NBA on ABC.
It's game two of the first round on ABC.
Lonnie Walker IV. It's the San Antonio Spurs. Next.
Right. I mean, just incredible. Like, I just, you know, like, we're all really locked into that Chris Paul, DeJounte Murray point guard matchup. Like, it's like, well, we could have had Luka against Chris Paul. Like, nah, this is way better. This good. Is good.
Yeah, we'd rather have the Spurs. We'd rather have the Spurs. I mean,
yeah, so maybe we get, anyway, like, maybe we get one game to make a decision. Like, all the teams in the play-in have weaknesses. Could the Spurs cover as a dog against a lot of them? Probably. Beyond that, is there any way to make money off of this team in like the first round of a series? I don't see a way to do that right now.
You bet BetQL Audio Network, Nick Costos, Ken Barkley running through some NBA takeaways from Monday night. Last thing that I've got, and maybe this extends into the next segment, maybe it doesn't, but the Suns take down the Bucks in overtime, 128-127 in Milwaukee. We can debate whether it was actually a foul on PJ Tucker or not at the very end, sends Devin Booker to the line for the game-winning free throw, giving the Suns the margin of victory. Giannis doesn't play the final 4 minutes of overtime, exits with an injury that is described as minor, but misses the final 4 minutes of the game. So maybe you bang on the Suns a little bit for that, hey, Giannis wasn't there the final couple minutes, whatever. Here's what I want to say about Phoenix. I think they've shown kind of a proclivity this season, Ken. They can beat you in a couple different ways. And we spend a lot of time talking about the Suns' defense, which is like largely very, very good. You know, CP3's there. Bridges is there. He's out. He's sensational. But in games where they need to score, like last night against Milwaukee, they scored nearly .130. And I get that it goes to overtime and they get there to do it. But, I mean, they did do it against the Milwaukee Bucks, one of the better teams in the NBA. And like, you know, Devin Booker and Chris Paul get all the attention. But Bridges and Ayton have kind of shown themselves to be like pretty reliable, like third and fourth options. Your Bridges, in addition to being a really good defender, had a couple of really clutch threes last night. He scores 21. Ayton scores 20. His game has improved. Probably never going to be like Olajuwon or like an all-time great center, but you know, a pretty good center, I think, in today's NBA. So kind of like, are we sleeping on the Suns a little bit, +900 maybe to win the Western Conference? What do you think about Phoenix?
Well, I think they might be the most interesting team to try to figure out in the West playoffs because Lakers and Clippers, they have the pedigree, right? They have stars who have won championships. That immediately makes you a viable championship contender because there's only like five guys who can say that who are like the leaders of teams basically. And the Lakers and Clippers have those guys. So their case is really easy to make. Utah's case is basically like, they're the one, they've been around forever with this group of players. I don't think any of us necessarily trust them, but Phoenix isn't either of those things. Like they're not fluky, but they also don't have any stars who have been there. Booker has zero playoff experience. Ayton has zero playoff experience. Their coach has zero playoff experience. Paul's been there a bunch of times, but the knock on his is he never wins. So, like, what do we do with this team? I mean, they have the winning percentage of a team that should be considered an NBA title contender, 70% or greater. That's kind of what you're looking for historically. Phoenix is in that box. They also play really well against elite teams, over 500 against them. They're 17-5 against the spread against the middle third of the league. They're going to be their first round playoff opponent. So, I mean, there's a lot to like. I think it's tough to figure out like how much is experience going to end up mattering when we get there. Is that why they really can't go anywhere?
We'll take a quick break here on You Better You Bet. And on the other side, we are going to praise my new favorite starting pitcher in Major League Baseball. And we'll do some other stuff as well. Major League Baseball takeaways next.